RNZ Pacific, kia ora ana. My name is Melika Pusiaki with the news. Passengers from Samoa transiting through Auckland Airport had to sleep in a corridor after being refused entry to a departure lounge with seats, which was just meters away. The New Zealand Herald reports passengers had arrived about 2 a.m. Sunday morning, New Zealand time. Christina Pesico reports.
The Herald reports the passengers were ushered to another part of the airport to wait for flights later that morning, only to be told they could not go into the departure lounge until 5 a.m. Photos and video footage posted by passengers showed dozens of people sitting or lying down in the corridor. A statement from Auckland Airport said while passengers transferring between international flights do not need to go through full border clearance again, they are required to be screened by aviation security on arrival. The statement said a dedicated transit screening point is operated by aviation security from 90 minutes before the first departing flight through to 11 p.m. An arrangement had been made to screen passengers outside of these hours, but this relied on being able to redeploy staff to the area.
Air New Zealand said it was across the unfortunate situation and it was working to support customers, but referred the Herald's query to Auckland Airport and aviation security. In Vanuatu, 180 applicants to contest the snap election on October 13th got their names published by the Electoral Commission. The chairman of the commission, Edward Kaltamat, said his office sent out 394 application forms, but on the closing date, just 225 applicants had returned their forms. Mr. Kaltamat said out of those 225, they only published the name of 180 eligible candidates during the first reading. He said there are 45 names in the commission that has put on hold because they have debts to pay before they can have their names published during the second reading on Wednesday local time. The commission has given them 72 hours to pay their debts, which include land rent, water bills and road tax. In Vanuatu, one of the paramount custom chiefs of North Amoeba, Chief Jack Sese, has advised the government not to politicize its road projects for political gain. The Daily Post newspaper says the chief spoke up after placing a traditional tapu on a bulldozer which was ready to clear the road through North Amoeba. The namele leaf is used throughout the country as a traditional ban on the use of equipment or an item by one person or community for personal benefit. While Amoeba Island has no permanent road right around the island 42 years after independence, Chief Sese is concerned that the project is being introduced at this time when the country's snap election campaign teams are ready to kick off. Transparency International Vanuatu is also touring the islands to raise public awareness of voting strictly for God-fearing, educated and honest candidates with sound leadership qualities. A mosquito-borne diseases expert says the spread of dangerous diseases across the Pacific has come back due to the return of international travel. A joint Pacific workshop on mosquito-borne diseases in Brisbane brought several Pacific experts together to gather further information on the subject. The workshop coordinator, Dr. Tania Russell, says in the island, transmission can be as simple as one infected person spreading the disease to the local mosquito population.
Well, one thing that we've really seen across the last couple of years with the closed borders is that COVID transmission between countries was minimized, but we also saw, particularly with dengue, that can have no cases in a small island, but then an infected person can come in and then they can, it can take off and become quite a big outbreak. So
A senior French military official is expected to release previously classified information about France's nuclear weapons tests in French Polynesia. The French High Commissioner to French Polynesia, Eric Spitz, says this disclosure is in line with the promise of transparency made by French President Emmanuel Macron. The French leader had promised to turn a page in the relationship between France and French Polynesia, which is marred by the testing. The impact of the tests continues to be highly contested as veterans groups keep demanding France to pay compensation for those affected. Since 1995, the local health system has paid out $800 million to treat a total of 10,000 people suffering from any of the 23 cancers recognized by law as being the result of radiation. Between 1966 to 1996, France carried out more than 190 tests in the South Pacific, with the test site remaining no-go zones monitored by France. Two police officers were injured when they were shot at during an investigation into a marijuana plantation on Savai'i Island. Samoa police say officers responded to a call from Salelavalu village reporting a marijuana plantation. An earlier report said the call reported marijuana plantations, but police say one plantation was reported. The officers suffered minor injuries after being shot at by a 12-gauge shotgun after conducting a drug raid on a marijuana plantation. The officers have since recovered and been discharged from hospital. Police have appealed to members of the public for any information that may lead to the arrest of the suspects. Also in Samoa, opposition leader Tuilaepa Sailele Maalieleanga'oi has written a letter to the editor about the high cost of airfares, which he says is one of the problems faced by hoteliers post-COVID. This follows the Development Bank of Samoa putting three locally owned hotels up for public auction last week. It is understood more properties are headed in the same direction after they were threatened with foreclosure notices due to climbing debts owed to the bank. In his letter to Samoa Observer, Tuilaepa wrote, "Samoa will forever be at the mercy of Air New Zealand, Fiji Airways and now Qantas." Alluding to the scrapping of jet services by Samoa Airways, he said that without competition, Samoa must suffer the consequences of operating under conditions where control of the marks is in the hands of one or a few powerful operators. The Fiji Financial Intelligence Unit is warning of a current cryptocurrency scam in the country. The Fiji Times reported scammers had circulated advertisements on various Viper and other social media groups using the official logo of a government agency and staff photo. Unit Director Rasim Bakus said the advertisements, which state that individuals in Fiji can purchase Bitcoin, foreign exchange and binary trading using mobile money wallets or bank transfers, are fake. The unit has advised the general public to be vigilant when receiving offers for investments, loans, and employment on any online or social media platform. In sport, Papua New Guinea Rugby League has announced its 24-man squad for the upcoming Rugby League World Cup. The Kumuls are of a mixture of NRL, Super League and locally based clubs. South Sydney Rabbitohs star winger Alex Johnson has been named in the squad along with Melbourne Storm's Justin Olam. Kumuls coach Stanley Tipen says the team is assembling in Port Moresby to connect with locals.
Yeah, it was important for the team to spend this week here in PNG. We could have chosen to assemble in Brisbane or Sydney, but we felt as a coaching group and as management that it's important for them to come here and get a feel, get connected to the Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea as a whole.
The tournament kicks off on October 15th. The Fiji women's rugby team, the Fijiana, are preparing for the Women's Rugby World Cup. The team's first game will be played against England at Auckland's Eden Park on October the 8th. Loose forward player Sereima Lewenkila told Rugby World Cup media the team's current main goal is to build its unity.
The focus right now is unity. We are trying to get that together. I think once the girls, find that bonding and that gel, I think we'll be able to play anything.
That's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, head to our website, rnzi.com.